Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Bar Trend Fink.
Bar Trend Fink.
My name is Jack. That one's courtesy of Kev Whatev on the Discord. Bar Trend Fink, of course, reference to the Coen Brothers movie, which is also the subject of one of my favorite Simpsons jokes, where I think Milhouse is like, we snuck into an R-rated movie. And Bar Trend Fink. Anyways, that's Miles. Hey, Miles.
Yeah. Hi.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, great to be here.
So these are some of the things that are trending on this Tuesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. We talked, of course, yesterday that Trump's bond that he was supposedly getting from Rich Chubb, CEO, did not clear.
Son of AIG. I forgot about that little detail. AIG was, his dad ran AIG before him. So yeah, we're on the up and up.
Self-made man. Mm-hmm. But so it's looking like he might have to be fucked, get all his. So back in February, I just like this little, back in February, Trump's lawyer, Alina Haba, went on Newsmax and when asked like, oh, so this is a lot of money, nervously laughed off suggestions that his properties could be seized, stating there will be a bond and there will be no issues with that. Well, it turns out there are some issues with that.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of issues. I mean, we said no company in their right mind is like, we're not going to give some freak a $500 million with a track record of fucking just skating on his debts all the time. Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah. Even if there was backed by assets or whatever. And yeah, now it's just going full screaming because the clock is ticking, y'all. It's Monday. He has this Monday, March 25th. Everything is about to go on sale in Trump world. If you believe all the shit that he's saying on Truth Social, this is what, like, again, we don't know who's going to bail him out or what's going to happen, but we love to see when the true panic sets in and he does like 70 pages worth of screaming on Truth Social. Yeah. Because it's just, Judge Engoron actually wants me to put up hundreds of millions of dollars for the right to appeal his ridiculous decision. In other words, he's trying to take my appellate rights away. That's not true. Nobody has ever heard anything like this before. That's not true. I would be forced to mortgage or sell great assets. I love that that's capitalized. Great assets. GNA, perhaps at fire sale prices. And if and when I win the appeal, they would be gone. Does that make sense? Witch hunt, election interference. Goes fucking on and on and on and on. Like a nearly unbelievable amount for even Donald Trump. Yeah. Which makes me believe, man, there's no takers for this one.
Yeah, it seems like he's kind of in a tough spot.
Yeah, And there's also like, there's even talk now that he's like, I gotta get Paul Manafort back in here to help me win again. He's talking about bringing, like, we're at the
getting the old gang back together.
Yeah, that's not a good look, man. That isn't a good look. And I wish you all the worst financially, sir. And hope that no one swoops to your rescue. Although I'm sure on some level, somebody will.
Right.
But
as hard as it's going to be to see this guy elected president again, at least it's good to see that some of the, you know, bullying and financial crimes that he spent his life just having an unfair advantage, him like getting the unfair advantage taken away, like getting to watch him like come to terms with that is somewhat fun.
Yeah. So we will see. We will see.
Yeah.
But again,
people keep talking 40 Wall Street, which, but that one's only valued at $220 million.
Gotta make up,
which is
some more.
Less than half what he owes. So Trump Tower, which, you know, that's kind of what that's known as. That might be on the blocks.
God, could you imagine some petty like other billionaire who like George Soros buys it?
Right.
And he's like, hey, you got my fucking rent full?
Yeah. Steve Mnuchin comes in. He's like, actually, I'm good on TikTok. Let me. Yeah.
I'm going to own your ass, Donald.
All right. So there's an article in the New York Times about how private equity is. It's basically the dynamic that we talked about with private equity taking over everything from, you know, retail like Toys R Us and J. Crew and just putting them out of business to nursing homes. Well, that process is underway within the music industry. Basically, private equity companies are buying old catalogs. You might have seen all these headlines. It's like Bob Dylan just sold his song catalog for $300 million.
Right, right.
And basically, their way of monetizing this is to try to like build media universes on the backs of like legacy artists and their old songs without investing in anything new, because that's obviously risky.
Right.
It's so like
we own the rights, and then we'll tink with the fact that we are the rights holders. We will just find ways to iterate on it and make more money, like a NFT or something like that. But we own the rights.
Yeah. All the money and energy is going to be going towards making money off of old music, essentially.
Yeah.
And you will have to discover new music on your own, I'm sure. You know, every couple years, somebody will like naturally, like organically get big, and like there will be some new music, but it's not gonna be a lot of it. It's not gonna be showing up in the places that we're used to seeing music show up. So this person who is like kind of a industry expert wrote in the New York Times, historically, record labels and music publishers could use the royalties from their older hits to underwrite risky bets on unproven talent. But why, quote, would you spend your time trying to create something new at the expense of your catalog? Asked Merck Mercuriades, the former manager of Beyonce and Elton John, who founded Hypnosis. The Gnosis there is spelled G-N-O-S-I-S. Like the, you know, wisdom, the feminine wisdom of ancient Greece. And so instead, self-styled disruptors can strip mine old hits and turn them into new ones. Nearly 4 years ago, the publicly traded Hypnosis Song Fund bought a 50% stake in the funk star Rick James's catalog, which includes Super Freak. To monetize its prize, Hypnosis found a lightly modernized update of Super Freak, had Nicki Minaj assemble a songwriting crew, and voila, in 2022... Miss Minaj's Super Freaky Girl, essentially the pop rap superstar rapping over Super Freak, became her first number one single that wasn't a joint release. And Hypnosis trumpeted the win in its annual report. So, which, like, that kind of, like, I remember at the time being like, this feels a little cynical, but it's just kind of like rapping over an old. But that's because it was conceived in a boardroom to be something to brag about on a quarterly earnings call.
That's what's so wild about that one, is it's sort of like, no, yeah, like we, it's not that like we're artists. We're like, yeah, hey, we own this right. We own the rights to this song. Make that relevant again so we can make money off of it. Go.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But it's it reminds me of like, it's kind of the same values at work as with AI. Like the one thing they can't account for is creativity, because creativity is like unpredictable, and like it's a thing that they can't do, and so it like throws the power balance into an uncomfortable position for them, and like you can't put it on a spreadsheet. So they're always looking for ways to like drum it out of creative industries.
But which, I own the ideas of creative people.
Yeah. So now what if you're wondering like what this is going to look like, it's basically going to be like, we already got all this old shit. Let's make movies out of it. Like, let's build the Arista cinematic universe.
Right.
So I just want to read some of the music biopics that are in the works, because we already talked about the Beatles cinematic universe, where there's going to be a different movie for each Beatle released within like a couple years of each other. We've also got Michael Jackson biopic coming next year, starring his nephew, and directed by who's the guy who directed like The Professional and
Luc Besson?
Maybe I have that wrong. Directed by anyways, we got Michael Jackson biopic coming next year, starring his nephew. Back to Black, by Amy Winehouse.
Fuqua. Is it Antoine Fuqua?
Antoine Fuqua is okay, who it is. Yeah, sorry. I got my French directors mixed up. Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse biopic, a Martin Scorsese, Jonah Hill biopic about Jerry Garcia announced in 2021, is supposedly in the works. Piano Man, about a half man, half piano cyborg transform. Sorry, no, wait. It's a Billy Joel biopic.
No, it's about a guy who was bitten by a radioactive piano.
That's right. I eagerly await the Caitlin Durante tweet. Keith Moon biopic, the Bee Gees biopic, Boy George, Bob Dylan,
Keith Moon,
John and Yoko, not to be confused with the previously mentioned Beatles cinematic universe. So this one is like Joker to the Batman movies with like Yoko as the Joker, the title of that article is 10 upcoming music biopics you need to be excited about.
Whoa, like, easy. Fuck you.
Like, just because, you know, now the online media outlets have all been hollowed out by private equity and neo-capitalism. So they're just like passing along orders.
Yeah.
You need to
be excited about this or you will not fit in. You will be ostracized.
You need to be. We need you to be excited. We're serious. Kind of fucked here. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the Dylan biopic is like starring Timothée Chalamet, and it's, you know,
people are excited. I just saw there's like a picture from the set.
Yeah, the pictures are going viral. It's like young Dylan in the village.
It's just there's not enough time to do biopics. They always fucking suck.
Yeah,
they just suck. I just don't know how else to say this. Like, no, like half the time the people are too cool in the viewer's mind for any actor to like encapsulate how cool they are or interesting. I don't know, but hey, go ahead. I'm sure. But again, it's the least creative way to chum the waters to get people to buy tickets, where it's like, well, how many Bob Dylan fans are there? Well, then make a movie. So they must go see it. How many Bob Marley fans are there? They must make a movie. So they must go see it.
Right. It's and then people get excited about the music and they can stream that, so they're just it's all them finding ways to profit off of existing music that has been bought up by private equity. And just going to be, you know, there was this phenomenon where like people stopped going to see live music from anyone who was like under the age of 50 a long time ago, prior to Taylor Swift. And I think we're seeing that with like all music. Basically, we're just going to see a real doubling down on songs that are by the elderly and recently deceased.
Yeah. Well, maybe there'll be something cool soon.
Probably. It'll probably be cool. Like that Michael Jackson biopic.
Also, Antoine Fuqua is not French. He's from Pittsburgh. I was gonna add that part. I was like, Fuqua is American.
That's amazing. Antoine. All right. But he's doing
how you
the
say
most.
Fuqua.
How you say Pittsburgh? How you say Permanente Brothers? I don't know. It's just My wife is French, and so I just get, oh wait, she's also from Pittsburgh? What the fuck?
What's going on with the French people in Pittsburgh, man?
All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
Hey, we're back.
And have you watched Irish Wish yet?
You gotta ask, bro.
Have you? Did you do it?
Yes, motherfucker, I watched Irish Wish.
Did you really?
Yes, motherfucker, I watched Irish Wish.
I'm so impressed by your commitment to this level of film.
My baby can't read, but I have seen Irish Wish.
Your baby is one. Your baby shouldn't be able to read.
Well, someone was shaming me, saying the baby should be reading by now.
Who?
I don't know.
Little man Tate's mom?
Yeah, exactly, bro.
Timely reference.
Dude, little man Tate. I've been thought about that shit forever.
Oh, yeah.
I still remember, like, she's like, why do you keep saying that word? And then sees that it's written on the bottom of, like, her coffee cup or something. And then Christopher McQuarrie got the idea for the end of Usual Suspects.
Oh, man. Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah. No, your baby doesn't need to be reading. Like,
I said, City of Los Angeles. Back up.
Kindergartens. Like, they're still learning to read.
Yeah. And I'm joking, but I wasn't joking that I was crying with tears in my eyes saying, why won't you just read my script? but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, no, I watched it because the guy's child was actually sick. And let me tell you, folks, have my first bout with a baby with a fever. It's not easy. It turns out, man. You can't just be like, hey, dude, just chill, bro. Just lay down, man. Just sleep it off like I would as an adult. Rather than being like, ah!
They do not want to. Yeah.
No. Can't even hold them and shit. Like,
she's like, all like, your body needs is rest and you refuse.
And you want a principle. Harlem shake. Yeah. That's what you want to do. You want to be fucking crumping all day in pain. Anyway, so I watched it. It's fucking a disaster.
Oh,
man.
Wait. Really?
Well, it's just one of those, it's a shitty like movie, holiday-esque film, right? Because it's like sort of vaguely about St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Also, pretty sure no Irish people in the movie.
But yeah, I think there's
like maybe one or two, but like it takes place in Ireland, and like this dude is supposed to be Irish. His family's like English. It's weird. I mean, maybe there's some like other geopolitical shit I'm not catching here. They'll be like, oh yeah, man, like they're still like oppressors. So they still be like laughing it up in their little castles and shit.
But I mean, the one line that I did see that went viral was when Lindsay Lohan says is on the Cliffs of Moher, which is on the west coast of Ireland, is like very rustic, you know, a bunch of sheep farms and then these like beautiful dramatic cliffs. And she says, wow, I feel like I stepped into a James Joyce novel. And the guy's like, wow, I'm so impressed by that literary reference. James Joyce wrote about fucking Dublin. He writes like urban novels.
Dubliners. His book just like, couldn't be more about Dublin. But anyway.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, James Joyce is my favorite.
I read this piece in Vulture that I thought was interesting. It was a very, it took a very sort of sarcastic tone, but the thrust of it was sort of essentially saying like, they're trying to prepare people for like the coming AI script writing boom where nothing is good and doesn't make sense, but we'll be like, oh yeah, maybe this is fucking fine.
Yeah, just it's a like once not, over from human eyes.
Yeah, yeah. And it was said in jest, but I thought it was like an interesting take. But anyway, it's like so bad, it doesn't make sense. There's like this like Irish lady who grants her a wish. Basically, Lindsay Lohan is a ghostwriter for this novelist, Paul Kennedy.
Of course. Lovely She's name. Very literary. She loves James Joyce.
Dude, obviously. That's what I feel like when I'm here on the Cliffs of Moher. But Dublin, not so much. I felt like I didn't know where I was when I was
Somebody pointed out it would be like an Irish character wandering around Times Square and being like, wow, I feel like I'm in the Grapes of Wrath.
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is what the Dust Bowl was like. Yeah. Wonderful. But yeah, like the movie's like she works with this like author that she's like secretly in love with, and then she wishes that she was actually married. She was getting married to him rather than her best friend. And then like with a snap of the wind, she wakes up in like their new reality where she's gonna marry this dude and then realizes she doesn't. It's not worth your time.
Right.
So I wasted my own for you. And that is my act of service.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Irish Wish sounds like it should be insulting. Like it sounds like it should be.
I know.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, it's like anytime you use like a nation as a modifier for a normal word, it always feels like it's, there's no way around it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, Irish Wish. Fucking Canadian sounds like something a CEO, tuxedo.
You would be like, I would like a raise, and your CEO would be like, that sounds like an Irish wish to me, aka it ain't happening, pal.
Yeah. How about this? How about I offer you instead some Japanese ice cream? And you're like, huh? I don't know. Is that an insult? I fucking have no clue. But the way he said it.
All over his fucking Japanese ice cream, if you know what,
if
I,
you
mean.
Know what I mean. It's, it looks just like ice cream. Yeah, but it's from Japan. It's like tasty or something. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't fucking know, man.
I don't fucking know. But yeah, that's perfect. The Grapes of Wrath being Times Square is like, it feels, because that's, again, it has like this weird feeling of like, who wrote this? And they also don't know anything about anything.
Right. I mean, I don't expect a Hollywood screenwriter to know James Joyce. Like, I only pretend to have read James Joyce. I've read like a couple paragraphs of that shit.
Oh, yes. Dude, I fucking Spark Notes the entirety of Portrait of the Artist, you know.
But I've like talked to enough people who have pretended to read it and like done the Googling enough to, you know that you can't say Cliffs of Moher is James Joyce.
Yeah, truly, truly.
Well, at least Netflix, it seems like, has got their head in the right place in other places. For instance, bringing the Snowman's Harry Hole back.
The Snowman's what?
So Harry Hole. You don't remember? So do you remember crime?
Yeah,
the crime thriller, The Snowman.
yes. Mister, as like Mister. Yeah,
hello,
Mister
Police.
Yeah, hello, Mister Police. Right.
I gave you all the clues.
Yep.
Anyways, that character is part of like a Jack Reacher like style series of novels.
Yikes.
And people had, like, I remember when The Snowman was bad, people who like crime novels were like, and this sucks because like the Harry Hole books are actually pretty good. So he's getting another shot. Joe Nesbo, who, you know, is Harry Hole, came up with the name Harry Hole, stuck with it.
Just a bunch of great, you got Joe Nesbo and my great character, Harry Hole.
Just couldn't be more 1970s porno mag type shit.
Yeah. Right. No, it's Norwegian, so it's J. It's just Joe, J-O. And then that funky O with the line through it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I mean, but like the Hello, Mr. Policeman, I gave you all the clues, gave us so many great memes. So maybe that's what we'll be looking
at. I mean, the books were popular, right? Like, that's the only reason they made the film. So
the novelist himself will adapt his own novel for the show. So we'll see.
And that, I feel like that's a 50-50 shot right there. It'll either go well because he actually understands like the intent of like what the book's supposed to be, or he'll be like, get way too caught up and be like, I'm a script writer now. And they're like, you're fucking it up, Joe.
That's not how people talk. Or maybe it'll be Norwegian Bosch. Nordic Bosch.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Those are some of the things that are trending on this Tuesday, March 19th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
A banger with one Jamie Loftus. So tune in for that.
Bangar.
A bangar. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.